Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So David is now forgiven. Now, just because you're forgiven doesn't mean you don't have consequences. And just because you're forgiven doesn't mean that God doesn't chasten you, discipline you. Because discipline is also correction.
Hebrews 12 tells us the Lord disciplines those he
started
loves.
With an affair.
He is our loving Father
who
loves
stand.
Us so much. He wants us to learn and to
grow
closer
him
to him through correction.
Of the people of
in studying
Ammon.
This season in the life of David, where he sinned with Bathsheba, we learn that God wants us to have a real heart for repentance and not try to hide our sin. The sooner we come to him, the sooner he can begin the process of restoring us and bringing us closer to him. With part two of our study, What Real Repentance Looks Like, out of 2 Samuel 12:1-15, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Now therefore, the sword shall not depart from your house. This is the consequences of his sin and the disciplining of God, but the sword is not going to depart from his own home. In the next few chapters, we're going to read of one of his sons raping one of his daughters. We're going to read of another one of his sons killing another one of his sons. We're going to read of one of his sons taking over the kingdom, organizing a coup, and driving David from Jerusalem. All of these are a result of what David did. Had David not done that, then he wouldn't have these in his life. He goes on to say, the sword will never depart from your house because you have despised me. Interesting wording by God. And have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will rise up adversity against you in your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did that in secretly, but I will do this thing before all of Israel, before the sun. When Absalom kicks David out of Jerusalem, David flees for his life from Jerusalem. Ahithophel had become a counselor to Absalom. Absalom takes David's wives up onto the rooftop with a tent and takes them in and sleeps with them. This again is the consequence in his own home that happens. Whatever we might think we gain from sin, we don't gain that from sin. It's the opposite. The consequences, the longer we're quiet, the longer we hide, the longer we cover, the longer we don't go to God and ask him to forgive us. So David said to Nathan, and here we get to put the white hat back on David, finally. Because he's been an outlaw for a while now. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. This is a man who's quick to repent. This is where we need to be. I've sinned against you, God. I've sinned against the Lord. He doesn't make excuses. We might make excuses. Wasn't my fault she was taking a bath inside of my rooftop. Gonna blame me? What about her? We could make a gazillion excuses. We're good at coming up with excuses. It's somebody else's fault. It's not our fault. But David just takes it. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. Notice how quickly, when the confession of sin was made, the forgiveness of sin was made. So David is now forgiven. Now, just because you're forgiven doesn't mean you don't have consequences. And just because you're forgiven doesn't mean that God doesn't chasten you, discipline you. Because discipline is also correction. When your teenager does something and you ground them, you've forgiven them already, I hope. But there's consequences, your correction. You want them to know this can't go on. And so God corrects us. The Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die. That's what should have happened to David. He should have had his life taken from him. Adultery, corporal punishment. Murder, corporal punishment. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. People still say to this day, how could God say of David, he's a man after my own heart, when David did what he did? So people blasphemed because of what David had done. Notice that God didn't cover the sin of David so that God could protect his name. God revealed the sin of David and took the blasphemy that came from it. You remember back in the late 80s, there was a television evangelist war going on. I don't know if you remember that or not. On Nightline, it was talked about every night for a while. And Jimmy Swaggart got involved in this. And Jimmy Swaggart helped reveal sin of another television evangelist. And so that guy did a little digging of his own. And he found out that Jimmy Swaggart got in his car, drove to a nearby town, picked up a woman, took her to a room where she undressed for him in front of him. And then he brought that to the media. Jimmy Swaggart, in his repentance, and you'll remember it, him crying out to God, tears, in front of people, which maybe he should have been doing alone. I don't know. But one of the things that he said was, I thought our ministry was so strong and so powerful and what we were doing for God was so much that God would never reveal it. He thought somehow it would be kept there. The shame is not on God, it's on us. However, God's not going to hide it because it will bring shame to him, because people will judge God because of it. We've got to do that better job. It says, then Nathan departed the house, and he left David's life shattered completely. All of the walls he had put up, all of the facades that he had put up, they were gone now. And in Psalms 51, we get the prayer of David's repentance. And here we see what real repentance looks like. First of all, real repentance doesn't make excuses and says, I have sinned against the Lord. You shoulder it. You take responsibility for it. That's first. And hopefully it's quick. Hopefully it's on your own before God has to out you, that you go to God and say, I wonder when God says, this is gonna happen in the sun because you did this privately. I wonder if David had repented from it before the Lord first privately and then took whatever steps God wanted him to take. I wonder if it wouldn't have been open like that. I wonder if God would have dealt with it differently. But listen to David's prayer. If you read above Psalm 51 in the New King James Bible, it says, a prayer of repentance to the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitudes of your tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledged my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you and you alone have I sinned. Now, remember, this is a song written by David. And so the inerrancy that we would find here in what's being taught is not necessarily that everything that David says is right. But the inerrancy is that this is what David said. This is David's repentance. This is the song that he wrote. Now, what I think David means by this, and eventually you can find out, you can talk to David yourself. What I think that David meant by this is, it is you that I have to deal with. I can't deal with Bathsheba. I can't deal with Uriah. That time is past. So it's against you and you alone that I have sinned. Obviously, he sinned against Bathsheba. Obviously, he sinned against Uriah. And he says, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. That's just the sin nature he's talking about. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. So God desires us to be honest with him inwardly, not to be putting on an act, not to be trying to convince people that we're better than we are or more spiritual than we are. He says, purge me with hyssop. This happened in the temple. They would give the sin sacrifice. They would drain the blood into a basin. They would dip hyssop, which is a plant, into the blood, and they would sprinkle the people who came on the Day of Atonement or came for it to be done. So he's saying, cleanse me with hyssop, purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. He knows that God has the ability to be able to forgive him. Make me hear the joy and gladness that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. David had seen Saul have the Holy Spirit removed from him. And so now David prays that the Spirit would not be taken from him. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. What a prayer to have to pray. But if God could forgive David, then God could forgive anyone. And God could forgive you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. It's not, sometimes when we pray, we say, Lord, if you'll forgive me, then I'll go to church, you know, every Wednesday night. I'll tithe every month. God doesn't desire sacrifices. God's not like, okay, if you go to church, I'll read the Bible every day. God's like, it's a bestseller. People aren't reading it very much anymore. All right, if you read the Bible every day, I'll forgive you. Those are sacrifices God doesn't want. Don't get me wrong. God blesses us in church. God blesses us through his word. We're blessed when we give. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive, the Bible says. But not because we're trying to give sacrifices for our sins. It says, you do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifice of the righteous. See, when my heart is right, then God's pleased with the sacrifices that I make and give to him. I'm not giving them to him for him to forgive me, but I'm crying out for forgiveness and making things right, and then he's pleased with it. With burnt offerings and with whole offerings, and they shall offer bulls on your altar. Now, there's another psalm that David writes that is not necessarily attributed to the ordeal with Bathsheba, although some believe it is. This is Psalms 32. Let me read this one to you. Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groanings all the day long. If this is about David and Bathsheba incident, he's saying, while that year went by, my bones grew old. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So again, the connection, I will confess my iniquity to God. When the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins. The confession is, I have sinned, O God. That's the confession. You're bringing the confession to God. You don't have to necessarily check all the boxes of every sin you committed, but it's going to him and saying, Lord, I've sinned and I'm sorry. And I believe that the forgiveness for that sin is every bit as fast as when Nathan said to David, and the Lord has forgiven you. Hopefully there won't be consequences. Verse 6, for this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle, or else they will not come near. Now, when God's speaking in this portion of the song, God says, don't be like the horse and the mule. What are mules? Stubborn. What are horses? Running in front all the time. It's like if you ever did horseback riding when you were a kid, and you rode, that horse would not go anything but a walk on the way out, but as soon as you turned its nose back around again and it was going home, it took off. Don't be like the horse or the mule. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. You rejoice and shout for joy, all you upright of heart. Now, a few thoughts in closing. Number one, God gives people time to repent. You may be in one of those times right now. There may be something that God clearly is speaking to you about tonight for you to repent from. You've seen how to do it, clearly. You confess to God that you have sinned, and then you repent. God, forgive me for this, and let me repent, let me turn to you, that I might live for you. And we see that in his prayer. David doesn't want to live that way anymore. He wants to be righteous and covered by God and back in that relationship with him. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Number two, and I said this earlier, the only sin God cannot forgive is the one that you will not repent from. Every other sin can be forgiven. Someone said to me one time when I said that, what about the unforgivable sin? The unforgivable sin is not repenting, ultimately. The Holy Spirit is working within you, drawing you, trying to get you to repent. And when you resist and resist and resist the work of the Holy Spirit, that is the unforgivable sin. The only sin that cannot be forgiven is the one that you will not repent from. Finally, when we turn to sin, we're forgetting about God's goodness. When we think, I'm going to do this no matter what, we're forgetting that God's got something better for you. Don't be deceived. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, again, as we take time to look at this sin revealed by David and David's response, we are finally blessed once again by him when he says, I have sinned. And how men today cover up their sin. Lord, bring us to a place where we have things right with you. Restore our righteousness completely. And I pray for those who are here today who have never repented or come to you. I pray that you would touch their hearts, that they would make a decision to follow you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. And if you're here today, and you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe in the past you made a decision to follow him, but you didn't follow through with it, and you know you need to, I pray that God has spoken to you clearly tonight, and that you would say, I'm done living for myself, and I'm ready to live for him. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You have to have your spirit come to life. This happens when you receive Jesus. The Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who call on his name. So if you're here tonight, you're done living for yourself, you're ready to live for him, you want to give your life to him, you're going to become his disciple. You're going to stop living for yourself and begin living for him, finding what God has for you. If you want to do that today, then simply raise your hand. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand And then I want to pray with you. Just raise your hand. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. God bless you. Right there. Just off the aisle. Just raise your hand. This is your moment. All right. I'd like everyone, including the one who raised their hand, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you as a child of God, as a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Now, I don't know if you're making a first-time commitment or recommitment to the Lord, but we have a new believers table that's over here. We've got a Bible we want to give you and a new believers packet for you. The new believers packet helps you know, now that you've raised your hand, now you've made a commitment, what do you do? What kind of things do you do to make sure you're established in Christ and you become strong in Him? Now, I want to bless you guys before we go. We've got another campus. I've got to go over and teach that at our West campus. I want to bless you with the blessing out of Numbers. This is how God said, bless my people in this way, in my name, with my name. So the name of God is in it three times. That's the Tetragrammaton, the YHWH, Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh. And we think it's pronounced Yahweh. We've lost the vowels, but Hebrew scholars believe that's the way that it's pronounced. And it means the ever-existent one. I am that I am, the one who never changes, the one who's always the same. The all-powerful, ever-existent, non-changing God. Bless in my name in this way. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself practicing the presence of God, sitting down with him, allowing him to move in your heart, to speak to you. May you be filled with his Spirit, that you can be a light to a dark world who needs him. God's given us the keys to the kingdom and told us the gates of hell will not prevail against us. May we stand strong for him. God bless you guys.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 a.m., streaming at reach.radio, or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, We'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.